This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes. With hands-free capture on an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
When you turn the ball over really 3 drives in a row, it's like, all right.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Picked off in the end zone by Carolina. Intercepted by Horn again.
Today's guests, Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore. Comedian Jim Gaffigan. Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Time for another program right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All 3 hours seen on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, heard on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM Channel 80. Listeners, hello to all of you. It's going to be a fun Tuesday in our neighborhood with a dozen National Football League weeks now in the books, and we turn our attention to the Thanksgiving triple header, and then we have a big time contest on Friday between the Eagles and the Bears, and then it's unlike the proverbial Kong o' Donkey in the Big House when it's a Michigan-Ohio State contest once again, high noon on Fox. And Sherrone Moore will be joining us on this program in about 18 minutes time. And my goal is to do no harm at all, but to give you a sense of what's going on in one of the teams involved in this program. Just happens to be my alma mater, whose win-loss record affects me emotionally. So Sherrone Moore will join us on this program. Always fun to have Mark Schlereth on a Tuesday. It's an Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Jim Gaffigan in studio in hour number 3, and talk about just hitting directly on something that he's doing business-wise. You know, he's got his own bourbon line, right? Mm-hmm. So he's doing an entire stand-up set about bourbon and drinking bourbon. That's what you do. Father Time Bourbon's own Jim Gaffigan in studio in hour number 3. It's always a fun time. Hour two. That's right. We've got hour 2 for him, and then Schlereth in hour 3. You threw out 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher
Brocklin.
Hey, Brocklin.
Rich, do you like that your game is right off the bat?
Oh, God, do I ever.
9 a.m.
Oh,
Pacific,
my God.
Here. You do like that.
I might have to take something on Friday night to make sure I don't wake up too early. Okay. And then I don't like watching the pregame hype.
Got it.
I just can't do it. I don't want it. Don't need it. And the only thing that's longer than waiting for the game are the freaking commercial breaks that Fox constantly jams in there of 3 and a half. Dude.
Every network does.
Excuse me. They're 3.5 minutes.
Yes.
3.5 minutes long.
I mean,
3.5 minutes, Mike. I was at a big noon Fox game in Ann Arbor, Michigan versus Wisconsin. And the number of times that guy with his twirling sign came out and put 3.5 minutes on the clock
hat.
Or 3:05.
The red hat on the sideline.
I wanted to throw the red hat out of the stadium.
I hate the red hat.
The games take 4 hours.
No, they do.
It's absurd.
Games are, yeah.
Anyway, Mike Del Tufo is here. The Fox apologist, Mike Del Tufo, is here.
No.
Wow. Good to see you. From sports to news, Mike Del Tufo is here
to the game.
Apologizing for Fox. That's okay. They're the ones who give you, you know, your pension plan and all that stuff. Emmys.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
Just two quick things.
Yes, sir.
As someone who...
You like it when I speak with my chest. I know. It's that week for you.
As someone who hosts a pregame show, the fact that you don't want to watch a pregame is wild to me.
Well, it's because mine is watchable.
It's wild.
I'm just kidding.
And number two...
No, stop it. No, but I understand. If I'm leading to a 1 o'clock game, you know, and it means that much to you, and I'm here, I'm talking about it, talking about it, and I understand if you don't want to watch me hype it. I get it.
Yeah. Also, as a lead pipe wielding professional,
I wield that lead pipe.
Yes, interview with Coach Moore is going to be completely unbiased. It's going to be journalistically and integrity.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and there'll be nothing balanced after it. What do I care? It's that time of week. I'm happy to say the Ohio State University and spell the letter O H I O. I get the whole business. But
you're above that frame,
and I every other frame, I'm not above. I'm quite beneath, and I'm going to do my best to not, you know, drag the coach into it. At any rate, that's now in 15 minutes time. You know what? You know, you haven't seen an old friend in a while.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, that's right, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, sure,
and I missed you.
Sure.
You know, I've always enjoyed my time together, especially since I'm always there for you.
Where are you going with this?
You know, no. I missed it. And for a flash last night, it returned. My old friend, the conversation is Brock Purdy a franchise quarterback?
Whoa.
It popped back. It flashed again. Okay. Somebody who's talking in front of a microphone today may have texted everybody in the group last night in all caps. Mac Jones watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was not alone in that. And by the way, I've been very pro Purdy this year.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of missed it. Man, he was terrible.
I missed it. It's been a while. You know, it's been a while. I guess it reared back up when he signed his $55 million a year contract.
Well, how's that looking today?
And then, you know, he did throw a game winning pass with damn near a torn up toe in Seattle against a Seattle team that's hardly lost since then, finding Jake Tonjes in the end zone.
Feels like that Jake Tonjes
season. Jake Tonjes season occurred in week one, but and then he went away. Then he came back too soon, and everyone's like, okay, we'll just blame it on the toe. And then he came back last week and looked really good in Arizona. And you can say, hey, everybody looks good in Arizona. Fine. Okay. Fine.
Sounds like you can read my mind.
No, I can read all your minds because I know you represent the sports id of our 2025 world sometimes, Chris.
I have been very pro Purdy this season.
Which is why you're so fabulous at Overreaction Monday and on a Tuesday coming up with all the subject matters.
Well, I would stay tuned for
It's been a while. So Purdy throws an interception and then he throws another interception. And then I even threw another one. Yeah, three.
In a row.
And by the way, J.C. Horn during that stretch, J.C. Horn became the first Carolina Panther in team history to come up with multiple interception games in a single season.
He's really good.
He's really good. And the Carolina Panthers were in this football game. They were in it. The fact that Purdy threw three straight interceptions is a major reason why. But so is Christian McCaffrey. So is Kittle, and so is Juwan Jennings, and so is the way it goes in San Francisco. They're 8-4. You are what you are. Mm-hmm. And what they are is a team that has now won two in a row with Brock Purdy at the quarterback spot. Purdy making the throws necessary, the runs necessary. At one point, it looked like he was dead to rights in the pocket, and he pulled the ball down, and he made a play fake, got out of the pocket, made another fake. That's why Steve Young says, use your legs a lot. Steve Young knows all about that. Constantly counseling Purdy to do both, run and pass. Don't force it. And all three of his interceptions came on deep throws down the field, 20 or more air yards, all three of them. When he's under 20 air yards, 23 of 29 with a passer rating just south of 106 and a touchdown and no picks. So, not pretty. Not pretty, but at the end of the day, McCaffrey getting it done. I called my shot again earlier this year. In the same way I said this would be the year Matthew Stafford would make the Hall of Fame in the mind's eye of anybody else who had had doubts coming in. I think I've been proven correct on that front. I told you Christian McCaffrey is a Hall of Famer. We're watching a Hall of Famer at work, and I understand the pushback about what his sometimes availability is. And, you know, I understand. I told you once upon a time my son is in a fantasy league where somebody named their team Christian McCaffstrain, which I think kind of sets it up. But Christian McCaffrey, coming off of last season's disaster of being healthy, now leads the National Football League in receptions.
Ooh,
come on. 81 of them. It's not Jackson Smith and Jigba. It's not name them. 81 receptions and 1,581 scrimmage yards. That's his 10th game of the season in which he's had at least 100 scrimmage yards. He's the only player with 9 or more. And how about this one? This is a good one. He's got 5 games of 30 or more touches. 5 of them.
Imagine that.
Only player with multiple such games this year. The last player to have as many games in a season with 30 or more touches. I'll give you the year. You want to take a shot?
Okay.
2017. Is that my? Is that the famous year of Billy Joel's Miami? Mike, right?
Todd Gurley?
No, right position.
Zeke?
No, you mentioned him the other day in reference to somebody kind of surfing around on the field, like Jerry Jeudy. Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And it's obviously helpful when your quarterback's throwing interceptions and your defense has suddenly become sackless, which makes sense as the Monday night broadcast did show a split screen of both Nick Bosa and Fred Warner in their street clothes in a Levi Stadium suite. And their 13 sacks are the fewest of any team in 2025. 9 games with 1 sack or fewer than most in 2025. So these are the challenges for the 49ers moving forward. Those things. They're 8-4, which isn't as good as 2 other teams in their division. And the good news is the team that's right above them in Seattle, they have won 1 game there already. And their last game of the year is against Seattle at home. Should that come down to it, they split against the Rams. So there's no tie break one way or the other there. They're right there in the NFC West, and they're currently in the NFC right there in the wild card spot. That's going to be tough for, say, Dallas to go catch them. They now have that tie break against Carolina, which is crucial. They're a half game in front of the Lions, whose next game is against the 6-seed Green Bay to kick off Thanksgiving. What a huge contest that is. They're a half game behind Seattle. Next game is at home against Minnesota for Sam Darnold to make life even more miserable for the Vikings these days. So half game behind the Bears and the Eagles, 1 behind the Rams. That's how tight the NFC is that team that I just mentioned to you that is a half game behind a second-place team that's 5th in the standings and a half game behind the teams that are currently 2-3 in the standings in the NFC that were playing each other on Friday and 1 game in the win column, 2 in the loss behind the top seed. It's tight. It's tight. So the Niners have question marks, but they are what they are, and what they're going to do is go into Cleveland next to take on Shedeur Sanders and the Browns. That's some must-see football viewing, just to see how that one works out. So the Niners have got to be feeling good about themselves. They lost Purdy middle of the season. They've lost Bosa, and they've lost Warner amongst many that they have had injuries. Purdy has come back. He throws a 3-interception game, all in basically, not basically, in 3 drives. By the way, he's the only quarterback to have a 3-interception first half of a home game in the National Football League in the last 2 years, and he's done it twice. Remember, he did it on Christmas night against the Ravens in 2023, if you remember. All of that, they're 8-4. You are what you are. The question is now for the 49ers in their next game is, will they have Juwan Jennings in it? Because the post-game moment broke into what sounds like a Nick Saban joke. Because it's a D's nuts situation. Nothing funny about it, obviously.
No.
As men on the planet, we can basically say.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not a good feeling. To use the phrase that Nick Bakay, one of our favorite guests and one of my favorite humans on the planet, when he was doing stuff for SportsCenter back in the day when I was there in my 1.0 with Disney and ESPN, and he mentioned how Andrew Galata once hit Riddick Bowe in what he called the forbidden speed bag. And I will never forget that phraseology, because it sure looked like last night Javon Merrig hit Juwan Jennings in the forbidden speed bag with a left jab. It was hidden. And the officials who were right there didn't see it and didn't call anything after Juwan Jennings gave the international symbol of, I've been hit in the forbidden speed bag, of taking both hands and covering said speed bag with it while bending over.
Yeah, you can't take another shot.
You know what I mean?
No.
So nothing happened there. But after the game, Jennings found Merrig and he had Juszczyk and Barnes of Carolina, there's a photograph right here, separate them in the way that I guess Merrig tried to separate Juwan's Jennings. And
when'd you come up with that?
I just did.
elite broadcast.
I like to think you woke up in the middle of the night. And
no, didn't think about that in the middle of the night. Thank goodness.
Elite
no
broadcasting.
No.
Kids out there, take notes.
But Jennings did hit him, Merrig, with an open hand, and we know Brian Branch did that to Juju Smith-Schuster earlier this season. He got suspended, and I'd love to get the head coach first, because it's very rare that you see a head coach step to the podium, and normally it's just like, well, something happened, we'll deal with it, you know, basically not give you the details of what happened, because again, Jennings took the shot,
yeah,
and didn't take his shot until after the game. He didn't do it during the moment where it could have really cost his team yardage in the situation, which is all in all what the head coach was talking about afterwards.
Yeah, the guy took a cheap shot and hit him in the balls, and it's real proud of Juwan for not losing his mind out there and get him to the sideline.
Soundbite of the year.
Good answer.
Jennings had this to say afterwards.
Man, TV gonna tell you what happened, man. I was just responding to me some childish behavior.
That's all that was.
Probably just like I was saying, just the history of me playing ball. I play hard. You know, I'm physically stronger than a lot of DBs out there. And so, you know, yeah, a lot of things happen in between the whistle.
Is that that's not a metaphor for anything, right?
No.
A lot of things happen between the whistle?
A lot of things happen.
Just want to make sure that's not a metaphor. Just meaning the referee's whistles.
Whistles.
Listen, I think we should just do you suspend him for this sort of behavior? Do you do that?
I would not.
I would not either.
But, you know.
I would not either. You know, let's just say, who's hearing the case, if there is a suspension and an appeal, right? Derek Brooks, maybe?
James Thrash?
I don't know. I think Jordy Nelson is doing that sort
Nelson,
of thing, too.
Jordy Nelson.
I guess what I would do if I'm Jennings is I would show up in person, hit whoever is listening to the appeal in that forbidden speed bag,
yeah,
and say,
you're suspend me?
How do you like me now?
Like, what?
What do you think? What are you going to do with that information?
And they're going to be like, why? And he's going to be like, you know why.
What are you going to do now?
Oh,
how
man.
Do you respond? Right? Isn't that what Tomlin said after Jalen Ramsey
you
got
respond
spat in
how
the
you
face?
Seem and he's necessary.
Like, yeah. You know, like, who am I to tell somebody how to respond after they've been spat in their face? But it's just part and parcel of, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Can we just not? How about this? I think this is a metaphor, and this is a message to planet Earth, if I may, from my seat. Can we just not hit each other in the balls?
Can you tell my son that?
That's true. Well, he's 5 and a half, though.
Yes.
So that's the behavior one understands from a 5 and a half.
Still.
Oh, I mean, honestly, the fact
hurts.
That Saturday Night Live skit that involved, why am I blanking on who it was? It was Casey Affleck, the Vanilla Nut Tap sketch, got my son's nut tapping everybody forever. But these are NFL players.
Right. They should know better.
Yeah. And just because we're on Disney Plus, we're going to stop talking about it.
Okay.
And plus, my coach is waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, Sharon Moore next. What a big time contest this is. It's Michigan Ohio State Week. And we've got the head coach of the Wolverines coming up next.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. This message is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 with Navy Federal's Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. But the giving doesn't stop there. You could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back with these cards. So saving up for whatever the season brings just got a little easier. Give joy. Get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Disney Plus and the ESPN app. I don't have the information here in front of me, but I believe he's the only guy in the history of this incredible rivalry between Michigan and Ohio State to win the game as an assistant head coach, an acting head coach, and a full-time head coach. He is Sharon Moore of the University of Michigan here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Coach.
How are you? I'm great. Man, I'm excited. Preparation is hard at work. The guys are attacking it every single day. We've had a great Monday yesterday, great Sunday. And Tuesday's been awesome so far. The intensity, the attention to detail is at an all-time high and just ready to go.
How do you lock them in? How do you do it? Or is it just the opponent does it on its own? What do you do? What do you think?
I mean, we, you know, our team meeting we had on Monday, you know, we talked about the Maryland game, where we're at. We moved on pretty quickly. And, you know, if you're a player, a coach, an alumni, someone at Michigan, there's not much you have to say to get ready for this game. You know, you're preparing for this thing 365 days a year. You don't win the game this week, right? It's based on what you do in January through now. So there's been a lot of preparation up to this point and preparing for this game. So there wasn't much to say. The focus of these players is at an all-time high. The guys, the urgency is at an all-time high. And we're just going to continue to prepare like we've been preparing for these past five games.
When did you, because again, you know, you're from the state of Kansas. You played, you know, your college ball at Oklahoma with my guy, our guy, pardon me, Gerald McCoy, yeah. You know. When did you first get a taste of this rivalry where you're like, okay, I get it? When was that moment for you?
When I first got it is when I first got here in 2018. That's, you know, you felt the difference. And then when we went down there in 2019, it was not a good result for us. That feeling that I had in my mouth, that taste that we had, was something you never wanted to feel again. Kind of an embarrassment and something that, you know, as a program, as a university, that we felt like we could never have again. And obviously the 21 year was magical, right? And how we, you know, played and prepared and what happened. But I think every year when you go into this game, it's just different. You know, you talk about preparing for game one game at a time, but you're always thinking about this game, right? And there's no disrespect to any opponent we play, but whether it's January, whether it's September and you're playing Central Michigan or Oklahoma or whoever it is, New Mexico, or if it's November, once you get to this month, there's an itch, there's something that starts to happen, a feeling in your body that, you know, you're getting closer to that game, and you still got to prepare and have the one-set mindset. But, you know, the theme right now for our team is starve your distractions and feed your focus. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of deterrent factors out there that can get you off of your path. And, you know, people telling you you're doing a good job, or, you know, how good you are, or what this is. And we can't even feed into any of that. You know, we've got to really reset our focus to what we're doing and go attack.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind taking a couple minutes here to just linger on this for me to share my story, my first taste, because I'm from New York City. And I didn't know anything about Michigan growing up at all. You know, the state didn't know, the culture didn't know, the people didn't know, the school didn't know, the rivalry had no earthly idea until I showed up on campus and was told by everybody, hey, these games you're going to, Notre Dame was the first one. And like, hey, enjoy it, soak it in, Michigan State, we got to win that one too. But it all does come down to the week that we play Ohio State. I'm like, really? They're like, really? And then the first game was in 1986 season, and the quarterback of the team guaranteed a win, and it pissed off the head coach at the time, Bo Schembechler, and the quarterback's name was Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah,
and he did do it. They went in the horseshoe and they won it and went to the Rose Bowl. And I'm just wondering, did Jim share anything with you when you first got there, or when you were, again, taking over for him that one time a couple of years ago about this? Did he share anything with you throughout the process?
I mean, at that point, we'd been in it a couple times,
right,
and been in the game and rivalry. You know, the thing he just told me when I had to take over for him 23, because we had a special team. We had a team that had been together for years. You know, I just had Trevor Keegan text me just now, and Blake Corum, you know, the other day, and, you know, just text with those guys. And, you know, Trevor's like, how you feeling? Are you feeling dangerous? Are you feeling confident?
Nice.
And, it's just different, right? And the thing that Jim told me, he said, just do you. He said, do you, and you'll be just fine. You know, you'll have success, but just trust your training, trust the players. Yesterday we talked to the team about, you know, trusting your technique and trust your coaches. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to trust your brothers. And that's what this game is all about. It's trusting everything and all the work you've put into this point and winning your one-on-ones.
Sharon Moore, head coach of the University of Michigan football program, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show, the week of Ohio State at the Big House. You got a young team, too. We all know that. And, you know, spearheaded by an 18-year-old at quarterback who has just got a bazooka in that right arm of his in Bryce Underwood. We met him here. The whole crew could not believe how big he was and how mature he was. But, you know, he also is from the area. He's probably grown up dreaming of the moment he's going to have on Saturday. How do you get him ready for this one?
I mean, I think that he's been getting ready for this moment all his life. He's been, you know, I'll tell you this. We got done with the game on Saturday, came back. You know, I came in the office, started watching film. That next morning, he was already in the building watching the game with Coach Lindsey. That night, he stayed here till about 11:45 at night. Monday, he was in there in the morning before class. After practice, he was in there last night. And I just walked around this morning, and he was in there watching film again. It's like the kid does not get rattled, but he prepares so hard, and he wants to be so good. And, you know, I can't be more proud of how he's progressed. You know, with all the criticism and all the things and all the attention that he has as a young man, like, he just handles it with such grace. And he's such a humble kid. He's such a great teammate. And the players, you know, they've definitely surrounded him and taken care of him and brought him into the family. And he's earned the trust of everybody around him because of how hard he works, how hard he prepares. And it's exciting to watch. And you know, the preparation will just have to continue. You know, you can't prepare somebody for the moment that they walk on the field before the game. There's a feeling that you have at that moment in the game that I can tell you, I can explain to you, but I can't describe to you. You know, last year we walked into the Horseshoe and Jay Sean Barham, who'd played at Maryland and played in the game before, you know, comes to me and said, oh yeah, coach, this is what you're talking about. I feel it. It's different. Mm-hmm. So like, there's a feeling in this game that you cannot describe, that you just have to feel it, and you have to let the players feel that. It's like putting on the your favorite song in your earpiece, in your headset, on your AirPods before the game, or your Beats, and listening to it and getting hyped up before a game. That's the feeling that you're going to get. It's something you can't describe, and you just have to let everybody handle it and feel it themselves.
Well, moments ago, Coach, you mentioned the first few games of the year, the opponents that you had. How is Bryce different now than he was then? What's he improved in?
I mean, I think just he's a completely different player. Obviously, he always had the talent and the ability, and he can make the throws. Trust in the system, trust in himself, not doing too much. He's done a really good job of converting a lot of things with his legs because he is athletic. He's done a really good job of going through his reads, but I think he's also found some connections within the plays, you know, with people as well, because I think that's part of it. You know, him and Andrew Morris have built a really good connection. He's built a, you know, a rhythm within the tight end room and doing different things. And he just understands everything more, and he's played more games. You know, he's 18 years old and he's played 11 college football games now. So he's no longer a freshman. He's a starting quarterback at Michigan. He's handled it in a really great way.
So, you know, you mentioned Andrew Marsh. I'm texting all my guys. I'm on multiple text groups during games. Not to surprise you. And I'm looking at him, number four, on the field. And I'm texting them, and again, not to put too much pressure here, I'm saying this kid has the ability to maybe be one of the top five offensive players this school has ever sent to the next level. I'm serious. Yeah. The way he's blossomed this year, and I understand everybody does focus rightfully on the receivers that Ohio State has and are bringing into the stadium. But this kid is really special. And I'm wondering, you know, you put him out there on punt returns now as well, kickoffs. Also, what are you seeing out of him that you think you can get out of him on Saturday, Coach?
I think he can be extremely special. He's so smart. He works so hard. He's so tough. His story is incredible. You know, lost his dad from a very, very young age. And it's him, his mom, his two sisters, and the kid plays like he plays like he has a chip on his shoulder. He prepares that way. He's uber talented, but he's an outstanding human being, an outstanding kid. So him and Bryce have always been close throughout the recruiting process, throughout just in spring. And now the talent and the things we are seeing that happen in practice are coming to fruition in games. He has special ability. He's extremely smooth, great ball catcher, just physical in all aspects. But the sky's the limit for Andrew Marsh, and you know, just excited about where he is and his progression as well.
Okay, in the few minutes I have left for you, I you know, be up front. I said at the very beginning of my program before you joined that the general sense of this conversation between the two of us is do no harm. Okay, that said,
yeah,
you know, a 23-year-old and Max Bredesen, who's been there, done that. Walked out of Maryland on crutches. Are we going to see him on Saturday? Would you be willing to share here?
Yeah, we're working towards that. It's day to day. If anybody could play in this game with injuries he has, it's Max. So we're working towards pushing him in that way, but we'll find out more as the week goes.
What about your running back room? right now?
Yeah, Jordan Marshall's fully healthy. He'll be ready to go.
Okay.
And along with, you know, we got Bryson Clouzdale, who played last game and played a really good game, and Micah Capanna and Jasper Parker. So feel good about that running back room. You know, you wish you had Justice Haynes, but feel good about where we are. Coach Alford has done an outstanding job developing all those guys. And, you know, the O-line is progressing exactly how you want them to. And you know, I feel extremely proud of this offense. The defense, obviously, and how they've played. They played so physical. They played, you know, they're star-studded everywhere. But to start six freshmen on offense and three redshirt freshmen on offensive line is pretty incredible. And to, you know, be where we're at right now with those guys, it's a credit to how hard they've worked. And it's fun to watch, man. They keep you young. And what's really cool about this is, like, our starting left tackle, Blake Frazier's dad, played here. And, you know, watching the look in his eyes when we had the team meeting yesterday and we started talking about the game and we started, you know, we went to walk through. There was a different look in everybody's eyes. There was a different intensity. You know, it wasn't tight. It was loose, but it was just extreme laser focus on the task, because they know, like, all the things in the building, everything that they see every single day, all the times we talked about this game, it's here. So there's no room for error, but there's no room to panic, right? Pressure's a privilege, and as long as you're prepared, there's no real pressure. So we got to continue to just attack every day like we've been doing.
And I don't want you to reveal the playbook, but how about this as a general question? Have you been running an offense over the past several months with plays in your back pocket to set up for this game that you're about to pull out on Saturday? Is that something you can allow here in this
game? Yeah, I mean, I think always this game's different, so I think there's things you have ready for this game that you haven't ran or haven't, you know, done. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to be us and go execute the plays that we know we can execute.
Okay, I'll take that. And in the couple minutes I have left, let's talk about the opponent, the Ohio State University. Notice I can, yeah. By the way, I can say the words. It's not Ishigan. We're not red X-ing anything. Right. Okay. I can spell the letter O. It's not a problem. Not a problem for me. The other side, right. I understand.
But I stay away from all that.
I understand. I'm trying. I don't mean to drag you down to my
No,
home.
It's all good.
But they have a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback in Sand, who is fantastic. Yeah. Jeremiah Smith has had NFL scouts drooling since he was a high schooler. What's your game plan for these guys? Just obviously there's more too. I don't know if you're expecting to see Carnell Tate. What's your two cents on that front?
Yeah, we're going to prepare like they're all playing and just be ready to react if they're not. But we expect them all to play. I have the utmost respect for Coach Day and the program and the history of the program and what they've done and how they've played this year. They've been dominant throughout the whole year. Julian Sand is he's an excellent quarterback. Great timing, great precision, great job using his pocket awareness. The skill guys are elite. You know, Carnell and Jeremiah, along with Brennan Ennis and Maxwell Clair, like, they're all really good. You know, there's not a lot of weak spots on that. And then with the running back room, they're extremely good too. They're physical and O-line's good. So offensively, you know, Coach Day is always going to have a great scheme from an offensive standpoint of what they do. And defensively, Coach Patricia's coming and just made that defense even better. You know, they play together, they play tough, they play physical. So we're going to have our game plan nice and tight and be ready to go attack.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Patricia from his times just down the road there when he was the head coach for the Lions, and he couldn't have been nicer. He donated he donated to my charity for St. Jude, but Saturday, that I don't know him anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. That's what this is all about. And, yeah. I mean, you know, Coach, you know, and everybody knows that the Buckeyes are coming to the Big House with their flag. They have a flag. They probably have the pole picked out. They probably worked on that for months. They probably have the flag. It might have been stitched by somebody named Betsy Ross in Columbus. You know, like, they are ready to bring one to the stadium and put it right in the middle of the 50-yard line. You know that. I know that. Do you mention that to the players specifically and say, not Saturday, not here? Do you say those words? Have you said those words to them?
No, we haven't talked about the flag or what happened last year or, you know, before the year. I addressed definitely just, you know, after games, what our procedure was and how we're going to take care of business. But, you know, I can't try to make it about vendettas or what they possibly could do or try to do. We know what their mindset is and their goal is, but we know what our mindset and goal is. And we've just got to go execute and play our style of football on Saturday.
And do you talk about the stakes, about college football playoff opportunities and things like that? Have you voiced that?
Yeah, I mean, I think usually, you know, during the season, we don't talk a lot about the goals, and I don't want them to be obsessed with the goals and the outcomes. I just want them to be obsessed with the process of how we have to do things and how we have to go execute. But I thought it was important on Monday for them to come to fruition of like, guys, this is the opportunity that you put yourself in to be able to be in this position to possibly get in the college football playoff and possibly go to the Big Ten championship, depending on what happens with the Washington-Oregon game. So they know that and they understand the stakes, but I also don't want them to lose sight of how they've prepared to this point to go, you know, be in this position. So we definitely talked about it and they know about it. And I'm sure they're all on their phones because they all are. You try to eliminate that as much as you can, but that's what it is. That's how college football is now. That's how this day and age is. The Gen Alpha crowd, or I guess they call them, or whatever it is. Like, that's how it is. So our guys are completely, they have knowledge of where they're at, what they need to do. But at the end of the day, we just got to go prepare. And it starts with a great day today.
All right. I finished this interview with something that I rarely do. I don't think I've ever done it before. Is there anything I can do for you? What can I do to help? Anything?
Just keep being you, Rich. You're the man. Okay. I appreciate all your support. Your continued support, your positivity, your blessings. Pray for us. Pray for everybody. Everything you do is top notch. First class. And, you know, we're just excited and we're glad that you're an alumni of Michigan.
Thank you. You
represent us in the best way.
I appreciate that. I wasn't fishing. I literally meant, is there anything I can do?
There's no need to fish, man. You are the man.
Thank you. If there's anything I can do, you just let me know. In the meantime, I'm going to say I'm going to be writing checks that I hope you'll let me cash. Figuratively, okay? I want everyone to know that. Figuratively. I'm verbally writing checks from this seat. But I look forward to the game, and I wish you the best of luck, obviously. And we'll chat real soon. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate you, Rich, man. Go Blue.
Right, go Blue. That's Sherrone Moore, head coach of the University of Michigan football program, in a pretty big week on the Rich Eisen Show.
There goes Coach Moore.
All right, you did. You were good.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Well, I'm just trying to live up to the standard that apparently has been laid out there by the coach. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I've been informed Jim Gaffigan has just arrived in our green room.
Oh, lovely.
For his second hour appearance.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started, Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
844-204-RICH, number to dial, whether you're watching on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio also. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers 24/7 protection when you bundle home, auto, and motorcycle. Learn more at progressive.com. Okay, baby. Weather in Ann Arbor, Michigan for Saturday. Yeah. Low 30s, cloudy. chance of snow. That's what this game's supposed to be played at. And this game, as you know, will never be played under the lights ever. Both teams.
I don't get that.
Both teams keep it noon, straight up, high noon every year. Never under the lights. Ever.
Is that just an unspoken thing, or is that written somewhere that it has to be?
I think it's unspoken.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a throwback, a tradition, even though the game just isn't the same stakes anymore. It just isn't.
Right.
The next time where it's for all or nothing, even if Michigan was undefeated and it's 1-2, I mean, perfect example as to why it's different now. If Indiana and Ohio State make the Big Ten championship game, I would be sitting there, if I'm both teams, saying, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Why are we doing it? Why, and if I'm the Big Ten, I'm also like, why are we doing this? Because we are eliminating one of the two teams from being an undefeated national champion. And for what? For what? Nice. I'm telling you, there is a scenario where Michigan beats Ohio State and doesn't play in the Big Ten championship game. And I know Sherrone Moore would want to play in it. I know all the kids would want to play in that in Lucas Oil Stadium. And my question would be, why? That would be the best scenario. Michigan beats Ohio State, doesn't play in the Big Ten championship, goes to the College Football Playoff Committee and says, that's our body of work. We lost twice. We just beat the Ohio State for fifth straight year in a row. They were the clear number one team. How are you going to keep us out? You know, how are you going to keep us out? The only reason why we didn't play for the Big Ten championship is Indiana beat Purdue and Oregon beats Washington, you know, and that's the end of that. And Michigan gets to sit at home. They get to rest up their players and they get to sit there. And I'd rather them put their third loss of the year on the line in a college football playoff game with all of these young kids. Let's give them that experience.
Yeah.
More than going to Lucas Oil Stadium and play for a Big Ten championship. These championship games, these conference championship games are antiquated. It's over. Yep. Like, and the sooner we realize that, the better. What? So you're going to, and again, heaven forbid, but you know, I know there's a certain town where Mo Green does not have a plaque or a signpost, right? Where that believes Ohio State is winning this game and by more than one score, correct, Christopher? Am I right on that front?
Correct.
Okay. So let's just say that happens. And Indiana is in that same town believed to be prepared to destroy Purdue, maybe not, you know, 66-0, but something similar, right? Why would you, if you're the Big Ten, why would you have these two teams play each other for a Big Ten championship? One of them gets, both of them are putting, you know, health on the line, and an undefeated season, it goes up in smoke for one of them. And for what? So that's why I keep saying Michigan, Ohio State means a lot, obviously. We just established that. But the next big Ohio State-Michigan game with all the marbles on the line for both is the time when, you know, in our lifetime, they're going to face each other in a college football playoff game. And then,
oh yeah,
you know, shut all businesses down. that's going to be a day. You know, that'll be a day. But and that day could potentially come, who knows, in December, January this year, if we are so fortunate. Jim Gaffigan in hour number two.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.